with the earth, and I'll give my praise to you. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. I will worship you.
God good?
All
the time. I want to welcome everybody to Osage Baptist Church this morning. Just got a few announcements. We'll be continuing the collecting the North American Mission offering from now until April 3rd through the 17th. Wana and Youth will meet again this Wednesday night. Thursday night, deacons will be meeting. And then next Saturday, we're going to have one day serve. We'll be helping Mary and Tim and they're new, getting ready, their new house, getting them moved in, all that stuff. Meet here at the church at 9 a.m. Bring a sack lunch, or at least bring somebody that's got a bigger sack than you're bringing. So, all right, so get ready for that. So, then next Sunday, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper during the morning service and business meeting that afternoon at 6. So, get your hearts planned and ready for that. And want to also make an announcement of the birth of Charlie Ann Blair. If you've followed Facebook, you've got to see a picture of that little angel, daughter of Sarah and Brady Blair, and the proud grandpa right over here. So, nothing like it, huh? congratulations on them. The address there if you want to send them a card or something. So, don't forget to just continue to pray for them. And I'm assuming you've got something? I'll get off.
You pretty much covered everything needs to be said. One day of serve, F. Cantwell's house, 9 o'clock. That's about it, isn't it? No. They need to clean. You know how it is with a new house. But please bring some cleaning supplies. Do the windows, dust the walls, the floors, so shop vacs. stuff to clean windows, stuff to clean walls, anything you might need, mops, that sort of thing. Now, if it's just Jennifer and I, we're probably just going to clean some windows. But if you come and we have more than we need to clean, we may get to move a little bit of stuff. So if you're a big, bulging, muscled young man like James Wheatley and don't have anything to do Saturday, well, we might be able to move some furniture and a little bit of stuff to help them there as well. So there's something for you to do. If you can come, we'll come. And an opportunity to be a blessing and to help the Cantwell start this part of their ministry in their life. Thank you.
And also, just one other, I forgot, I even wrote it down here so I wouldn't forget. May 1st will be Senior Sunday, so if you've got a senior that I am missing and I'm not aware of, please get. We need to know today on that. And also, if there's any college graduates that we're not aware of, please let us know and we'll recognize them as well. So let's open with a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Just thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the weather, and Lord, just the opportunity to come into your house, Lord, and sing praises to you and to hear your word. We ask you to just be with this time and, Lord, to bless those that could not be here today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. This is the first Sunday in April, and as such, we'd like to recognize our birthdays and anniversaries. So if you're having a birthday in the month of April, please come forward so we can sing with you and celebrate with you. All right. Let's sing to those that are coming. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Birthday. All right, if you're here this morning and going to celebrate an anniversary in April, please come forward. Any anniversaries in the month of April? Seems like a great month to be married to me. No anniversaries. How? Interesting. Okay. All right, then stand with me. Let's sing together.
Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sensed that too many eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying?
The evidence is endless. All my sin is broken. view of Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Why should I fear the end? Why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here.
Amen. Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power, for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name.
life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. Once more.
Okay, if you're involved in children's church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take care of your group right now. Thank the Lord for those that are doing that are in charge of that. Help us out with that. Got a good little crew that is part of that. And we are grateful. If the Lord tarries, there'll be youth one of these days. and adults, if the Lord tarries long enough, they'll be doing our jobs, hopefully. And that's what I want to urge the youth that are among us today, that's what you need to be involved in, is taking charge of what God has called you to do. Next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's Supper in the morning service. And so just want you to be aware of that and urge you to be here. We're planning on a good-sized group. It has been, we've had the Lord's Supper one time in the last 2 years because of COVID. But we're going to be having that, and it'll be very safe. And you'll be able to participate in that. And the way that our church practices the Lord's Supper, and I'll be talking about that a little more next Sunday, but we practice it in a close manner, C-L-O-S-E, not closed as some churches do, but close, and that means that if you've been born again, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've followed Him in believer's baptism, we welcome you to be a part of that service. You're welcome anyway, and the way that we practice it is always passed before each individual, and each individual makes their own decision about whether or not they would take the Lord's Supper. There are some churches that if you visited them during the time of Lord's Supper, they would ask you to leave if you weren't a member of the church. Well, that's not how we practice. And so I hope that if you're born again, you've been scripturally baptized, you'll look forward to being a part of that service with us. And if you've not come to make that decision yet, I hope that you'll use it as a teaching point and that you'll you will think about what its meaning is. And so I'm going to preach on the Lord's Supper next Sunday. But for today and for tonight, We're going to talk about the race again. This has so much in it. This well is deep. This race is something else. It's a great day for the race, isn't it? Isn't it a great day for the race? I mean, we live at a time that it's a great time for the race. And you and I are involved in this race. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're part of that race. You're not sitting on the sideline. You're actually part of the team. You've suited up and showed up. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're part of that race. And we're going to talk about some of the things that hinders that race today. As I was looking over these messages, and this tonight will be my fourth one. I don't know if you're keeping up or not, but it'll be my fourth one on the race. I was reminded of a guy that I knew over in East Arkansas that I guess when you get Alzheimer's, you're the last one that knows it. But he's pastor of church, and he preached. And after church, his wife said the same thing you preached last Sunday. And he said, no, it wasn't. Yeah, it was, too. And it turned out he didn't know. but I know. I know. And this will be the third message on the race, and it's a great day for the race, so we're going to be talking about the race just from a little different perspective, a little different something for us to look at, and I just see so much in this passage of Scripture. And we'll be having, the deacons will meet Thursday night, we'll be having supper together on next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and we'll have business meeting. And so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that fellowship time that we'll have together. We're gaining. Did you know we're gaining? Folks are coming back, and we're excited about that. And we're gaining some folks, and that's good. That's good news. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. There's a little bit of a discussion, I doubt if it even needs to be mentioned, that who the author of the book of Hebrews is, but I've always held, and I think it's a good position. I believe that Paul wrote Hebrews along with the others, and so that, just that being said, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And by the way, I was involved in a wreck, a car accident Saturday. Was it Saturday? It was Friday. I told you I don't have it now. I just get my days mixed up sometimes. On Friday, and several of you called and checked on it. I'm fine. Everything's good. I appreciate that so much. The guy in the other vehicle's fine. And thank the Lord for that. We can replace the vehicles. 12-1, but I wanted to express my appreciation to you for checking on you. Hope you weren't disappointed. Verse 1. I'm just going to read verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You may be seated. Now, almost the same, but I see 3 points in this passage. I want us to look briefly at the cloud of witnesses, and we'll talk about that lastly, probably. But I think that's a important aspect of this verse. I want us to look at what the verse says about laying aside the weight and the sin. Now, some translations group those together. I actually see it differently. And I wouldn't argue with the translation, but it looks to me like that at least the King James puts those things as two separate things, the weight and the sin. I wouldn't argue the point. Sin is a weight, isn't it? And then I want us to look at the patience of the run. Jim Marshall, on October the 25th, 1965, picked up a fumble and ran the wrong direction. And he got a nickname, Wrong Way Marshall. What a... I feel like that maybe he might have felt like the guy that got his name in the Bible. Do you remember in the book of Acts? There was a fellow got his name in the Bible for going to sleep in church. Fell out of a third story window. Killed himself. Paul prayed over him. He came back to life. And I'm thinking, if it's going to mention you in the Bible, can you imagine them mentioning the only thing I had to say about you was that you went to sleep in church? Well, actually, Marshall was a good football player, and he went on to do some... matter of fact, the coach didn't even take him out of the game. He went on to make some really good plays. But this one play, he got a nickname that he carried all the rest of his career. So, what can we learn from Marshall's mistakes? I had a youth director and associate pastor. He served in both positions in Tuckerman. And he went on to pastor several different churches. I did some revivals for him along the way. And I'm not sure, but when he was introducing me at one of those revivals, that he used this illustration. He said, I learned a lot from Brother Lanning when we worked together. He said, I learned what not to do. And so sometimes we can learn from other people's mistakes. So let's look at this. He never had to worry about the brutality of the opposition. You know, if you're going in the same direction as the devil, you don't have to worry about the devil bothering you. It's when you and I begin to serve the Lord and doing what God has called us to do, that we have that we're in opposition of the devil. One man came to church, and he was totally deaf. And he could not hear anything that was going on. And someone asked him, "Why do you come? You can't make out anything that is going on. You can't hear anything that's going on." He said, "I just want the devil to know whose side I'm on." And sometimes we need to understand that we're in the race. And the devil needs to know whose side we are. At least we're not running in the wrong direction. As Marshall, that we set our sights on running in the right direction. The devil's glad to see us running the wrong direction in this race of life. He did not receive the congratulations from his home team. Can you imagine? I think I saw that. I didn't see it when it happened, but I saw a video of it. And I'm not sure but what his own team was trying to tackle him because he was going in the wrong direction. You and I could take some advice from that when we're to be an encouragement to other people. When we see, hey, you're carrying the ball in the wrong direction. Now, I don't think that we should say that, perhaps. But when we have a team member that is going in the wrong direction, I think it would behoove us to encourage them to get turned around and get started in the right direction. They may not like it at the time, but they'll appreciate it later. Let's look at the cloud of witnesses that he talks about here. What is it, or who is it, that Paul is talking about here when he says that we're compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses? The Message Bible calls them pioneers who blaze the way. The Amplified Bible calls them witnesses who have been, who bore testimony to the truth. The New Living Translation puts it this way: witnesses to the life of faith. A witness, according to Webster, is one who has observed with one's own eyes or ears. They've been through it before. Compassed. The word compassed here means to lie all around or to hang about. New Living Translation says surrounded with such a cloud of witnesses. Those folks who have borne a trail before us. I like history. And I like to read documentaries or watch them more than read them about folks who have gone before us. And I can't imagine what it was like to go from the East Coast to the West Coast when there was no roads, can you? Can you imagine what hardy folks those were that blazed the trail for others to follow them to the other side? Well, let me tell you what it is not. It is not your dead relatives in heaven cheering you on because they're able to see what is going on down here on earth. Now, I've heard that, and I've heard that preachers say that sometimes, that they're up there cheering us on. That's not true. I want to tell you something. Heaven is a place where there is no tears. Heaven is a place where it's total comfort. Heaven is a place where there's no sorrow, the Bible says in the book of Revelation. There's no more separation, that God wipes away our tears. There's no sadness in heaven. We sing a song that about a place that we're going to be a part of one of these days, that where the soul of man never dies, the songwriter said, where the sun does not go down. It is that Jesus is the light. It's a perfect, perfect place. Now, I'm telling you that my relatives couldn't look on all the mistakes that I have made here on this earth since they left and be happy. They don't see it. They don't see you. God sees you, and your neighbors see you, but they don't see you. Ah. Now, I know that that sounds to say, yeah, they're looking on and they're cheering us on. That sounds romantic and everything, but it's just not the truth. This is talking about folks that have blazed the trail for us that we know about and read about that have been faithful to the gospel. And the Bible gives us a lot of those names. Then this verse says to lay aside the weight and sin. Weight is anything that might encumber our race. In my own life, it's passion for my hobbies, my desire for my own time gets in my way. Sometimes we have to trade the good for the best. What is it that hinders us, keeps us from running the race, something that tangles around our feet and keeps us from running the race? Now, you might be able to name mine, but the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, know my thoughts and try me." Let's see, I'm misquoting it there. I'll have to start again. Maybe somebody else could do it. "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Turn your searchlight on me and look at my heart," asking God to look at our own heart, what our own heart is like. "The mirror of His word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why He doesn't give up on me. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand." His searchlight, His word in our life that opens us up to that. To running a good race. Things that hinder us. Been a few years, but there was a young lady came and helped us in Vacation Bible School one year. Yarbrough was her last name, Tara, I think. And she did an illustration, a chemical illustration with some chemistry, some glasses of water. And if you put a certain thing in it, it'd turn one color, and you put something else in it, it'd turn another color. And she asked me to help her. But I had no idea what she was going to ask me when we got in front of the congregation of the kids here at church. And so we were standing right along in there, and she had a table set up, and she had these glasses set up on them. And she turned to me, and she said, "Brother Lanny, name one of your sins." Have we got a microphone that we could use? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go from person to person and say, "Name one of your sins." But here the Bible says the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that what would be in my life that besets me may not be that in your life that besets you, or vice versa, that gets in the way of our race, the sin which does so easily beset us, the sin that gets us off track. Probably not the same for you as it is for me. Let's look at a passage or a verse of Scripture over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. and look down at verse 13. I use this verse a lot. I quote it a lot to myself when I'm needing it. Have you found it? Say amen. Anybody not find it? That's like asking you if you're going to be here tonight. Some of you don't answer. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. That you may be able to bear it. You and I will never be tempted above our ability to resist. So we won't be able to say, well, you don't know how strong the temptation was in my life. God tempted me more than, or the devil tempted me more than anybody else has ever been tempted, or anybody would fall to that temptation, anyone would give in to that. But here the Bible says that there's no temptation taking us but such as is common to man. So, doesn't mean that we have the same temptation, it just means that we're tempted the same. And it's common. And the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet he did not sin. There will always be a door of escape. You and I just need to choose the door of escape when it comes. You know, the TV has a button on it that we can turn it off. We can change the channel. The computer has an off switch on it. We can, there's a, on mine anyway, up in the upper right-hand corner is a red X that you can arrow up to, and if you click on that, it turns it off. We can turn it off. There's always a door of escape. We can leave the situation. We can walk away from the situation. There's always a way out. There's always a door of escape. When we sin, we choose to sin. Paul says here in this passage for us to run with patience. What does that mean? Is there a lot of patient folks in this crowd? Is everybody here real patient? Patience seems to come in short doses, doesn't it? That most folks would. Either they would count themselves impatient, or their spouse or their kids would count them impatient. I don't know if you've noticed or not, I've got a little bit of a hearing deficit. And it causes me to be impatient, but it sure does cause the people that's talking to me to be impatient. You know, when you've said what to a person about the third time, they begin to get aggravated at you about something. My daughter called the other day, and I saw that it was her. I answered the phone. Dad, I said, what? I said, I cannot understand what you're saying. Talk slower and louder. And the next thing I did understand, she said, I'm calling Mom, just talk to Mom. And I asked her, when I saw her next, I said, are you kind of getting impatient? I said, you never said goodbye, love you, Dad, you just hung up. What is patience? It said run the race with patience. Well, I'll tell you what the Message Bible says here for this spot. It says never quit. Never quit. Patient, endurance, steady, and active persistence, says the Amplified Bible. Just stay with the stuff. Then finally, our race has a lot to do with others who are in the race and with those who haven't entered the race yet. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 2, the Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That word literally means long patience. Forbearing one another in love. Here's what the Amplified Bible says here. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness. Chuck Swindoll would say right here, don't take yourself too seriously. Unselfishness, gentleness, mildness. With patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. And then, as Paul brings us to a place of closure here on this passage, he says, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Isn't that good stuff? Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What would he do? What would Jesus do in this race? I'm going to ask you to suit up and show up. If you've not yet asked Jesus into your heart as Savior, I want to ask you to do that today. We're going to stand together, and Brother Matt's going to come, and Monica, my guys are going to come and help me. And I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus into your heart as Savior. If you've not done that, that you'd do it today. That you'd step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and by your coming, say, Brother Lenny, I want to become a Christian today. I mean, you don't have to know my name. I want to accept Christ as my Savior today. I want my life changed. I want Him in my heart, and I'm going to decide to do that today. Maybe you're here and you've already made that decision, and you haven't yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I got to tell a little girl Wednesday night, Kim led her in the sinner's prayer, and she accepted Christ as her Savior, and I got to say, and you know your next step is to follow the Lord in baptism. And that is your next step. That's your witness to the world, that you follow him in believer's baptism, that you're saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to take a stand for Jesus, and I want everybody to know it. I believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, and I'm going to follow him in believer's baptism. And there's not two or three baptisms. There's just one. And it's immersion, and it is in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. If you was baptized, if you were sprinkled as a baby, you've not been baptized. If you was lost when you got baptized, you've not been baptized. Believer's baptism is just that. It's believer's baptism. It's after you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you follow him in believer's baptism. You follow him in baptism. Maybe that's your need today. And we won't do it today. Sometimes folks get the idea, well, if I come forward, they're going to want to baptize me right then. No. No, we'll make a plan to, okay? We'll do it on your, when it's good for you. We'll make a plan for that. Maybe you're here and you've been saved and you've been scripturally baptized, but you haven't joined this church yet, but God's been dealing with you about that. You're saved, you're scripturally baptized, and you'd like to become a part of this fellowship. You do that by coming forward and just telling us, I want to join the church. And we won't give you an opportunity to do that today if that's what God's dealing with your heart about. And so we're going to sing, and we're going to invite you to come. You can come to me or either one of these other guys. As we sing, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the way you choreographed salvation itself. And just thank you for the gift of life, Lord. We just praise you for the beautiful weather and the ability to just come together in fellowship and celebrate Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.